to the second hour of First Edition, the NWA Sports Report. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at First Edition 88.9, and don't forget to like and follow us on Facebook at First Edition on WEAA 88.9 FM. Go to WEAA.org on our homepage for the latest podcast of First Edition, or subscribe to our iTunes podcast, First Edition. Also, hit me up on my personal Twitter account. The tag is at Sean Yoes. That is my name. S-E-A-N-Y-O-E-S. So go to my Facebook page. If you have information, insight, or breaking news you want to share with me, I'll share with the people unless you don't want me to, and of course I won't. It's about the NWA in the second hour. On the phone, Uncle Perry.
What's up, yo?
Uncle Perry. I'm going to get to you in a minute, Uncle Perry. In the studio, this is Dre.
What's going on?
What's up, Dre? Ray Mosa is also here.
Hey, listen, people. Hello.
All right. Uncle Perry, it was indeed one of the rare pleasures. You were like you came down from Mount Olympus yesterday, and I actually saw Perry in person. Are you listening to me? Listen to what I'm saying. I haven't seen Perry I don't remember the last time I saw Perry. And he came to the offices of the Afro-American newspaper. He came out of the executive offices, and I swear, I was like, who's this dude with the construction vest on? I was like, who is this guy? And the publisher of the Afro, Jake Oliver, said, this is Perry. I was like, I literally fell back against the wall. Hugged the brother. I hadn't seen him in so long. Perry, it was incredible to see you yesterday, man.
You were looking at me like, who's this dude? You know, like, you wanted to do something.
I just didn't know who you were. I didn't know. I was like, who's this dude all up in there?
You gave me a look like, because I put my hands up like, what's up? You looked at me like, oh, this dude want to fight? You know what I'm
saying? it's been that long since I seen you. That's why it was so crazy, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's been a while. Well, look, you know, Mr. Oliver summons me to the Afro offices in Baltimore at least once a year.
So, yeah.
You know, when the king calls, he's like, come on, that's your head. Right?
You came out of your secluded space and you were there in person. It was unbelievable. So anyway, we got a lot to get to. One of the things that I want to talk about, we talked about it a little bit in the last segment, and we talked about it earlier this week with Brother D. Chase and Brother LaRon Finney about the basketball tournament that is coming to Baltimore. I wrote about it in my column in the Afro, as a matter of fact. $2 million basketball tournament. It was the semifinals and finals was in New York City last year. Finney and Chase bought it to Baltimore. They went and jacked the cats in New York and brought the tournament to Baltimore. Carmelo Anthony is the face and host of the thing, but Finney and Chase are the ones who really cut the deal to bring it here. The semifinals and the finals are going to be played at Coppin State University in West Baltimore. And connected to the tournament, this $2 million tournament is a tremendous amount of public service that is being community service that is going to be implemented in the way of healthcare services, jobs, beautification of neighborhoods, refurbishment of the Avenue Market. It's a beautiful thing, and it's a great look for the city. And we're just hopeful that, you know, literally thousands of people will turn out and show out at Coppin State University for this basketball tournament that's going to be televised in prime time on ESPN, as a matter of fact. This is a big, big deal for real for the city.
And I'm in the hugest luxury of being able to be there and being able to to cover it as well. So I'm happy.
We should all be happy. This is a major deal for the city. And again, kudos to Brother D. Chase and Brother LaRon Finney for bringing this to Baltimore and all the people connected, because they have major, major sponsors connected to this to make this a reality, not just the tournament itself, but the community service that is connected to it. It's a major thing for the city.
Well, it goes further than that, Yos, because, I mean, I personally know a lot of the guys that's actually playing in that tournament. You know, most of them play ball overseas.
Yeah.
Just gave them opportunity to play right here on American soil. An opportunity to try to go and get some money, some real money that they probably wouldn't make overseas. So, I mean, that's just good to see that, man, because there's a lot of cats that come out of college that can really play.
Absolutely.
And we forget that because, you know, how many players can play in the NBA with 300, 400 every year?
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
And there's 7 million people in America, right? Or 7 billion, excuse me. So, I mean, you get 300 or 400 out of 7 billion, you know, look at those odds. all of these dudes are very talented. So you get to see the skill set of some of the players that you won't see on the NBA stage.
Exactly. I mean, when you got $2 million on the line, jokers will come out of the woodwork and will come from a lot of different places to try to collect some money. You know, because they are going to, Finney assured me on the air, they are going to hand out a $2 million check at 7 o'clock on, I believe, August 3rd or the 4th. I can't remember which day it is. But they're going to hand out a $2 million check at center court in Coppin State University's basketball arena. So the talent arena, I believe it's called. So it's a big deal, and a lot of those guys that you say, Perry, who play overseas and can't quite make it to the NBA, this is an opportunity for them to get some serious money.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. All right. Let's keep moving. All right. Now this, your favorite one. Well, I don't know. We shouldn't even go to this first. I'm a hold on to the LeBron Kyrie Irving news for a moment. But Gilbert Arenas, what's wrong with this cat, man? Gilbert Two Guns Arenas is at it again, putting his foot in his mouth, making disparaging comments about Lupita Nyong'o. In my opinion, one of the most beautiful women in the world, but obviously Gilbert has an issue with dark-skinned women. And what did Dre fill us in on what this clownish individual said about Lupita Nyong'o? He disparaged her looks recently.
I mean, apparently this isn't the first time he's gone after Lupita. This is he's made these like similar remarks in the past about her skin tone, and I'm not sure what his exact issue is, but he keeps going after her skin tone. It was about a picture she took while she was on vacation in Mexico. But I mean, we've known Gilbert to be off the wall.
What's wrong with that cat?
With his sayings anyway. Mine, I mean, anytime you bring guns to the arena, something's clearly wrong with
Perry,
this guy.
Perry, what's going on with Gilbert Arenas, man?
Well, other than this him being a clown, he goes all his way. It's not like he's intentionally trying to be a clown every chance he gets. I mean, that's what he did when he was with the Wizards. Before then, when he was in Golden State, probably throughout his entire life. I mean, what he wants to be is a clown. He wants to clown everybody. And honestly, I think the dude is a psychopath, you know, because he really doesn't have feelings for anybody else. This is all about the bottom line of getting this joke off for anybody, at anybody's expense. I mean, I've seen the dude go over Nick Young's mansion, right? Yeah. Right after Nick Young and the whole Izzy Azalea thing was going on. The breakup with them with the young kid's name who just got traded from the Lakers, D'Lo, with him snitching on Nick Young, and Nick Young lost his girl. This dude goes over his house, like breaks all of the pictures of Izzy, this destroying her property and all of that on Instagram Live or whatever the case is. He's doing it on Snapchat. It's like he doesn't care about anybody, what anybody else is going through emotionally, how you may feel it, if it offends you or not. He just wants to make this joke and make a joke out of you. So, I mean, no one can explain the dude. The dude literally is a nutcase, you know. So, I mean, eventually he's going to say something or do something that's going to land himself in jail. So we just got to just wait it out.
It's unfortunate because when you think of Gilbert Arenas, his basketball play, he's fine. I mean, he was the face of the Wizards at one point. I mean, who can remember those games with him and Tracy McGrady and all them going back and forth? I mean, he put up numbers, but mentally he's lost every marble involved. And as a woman, when you get a certain level of money and stature, you think that only thing that's appropriate for you, and I guess to date, if you look at these guys, because you got all these sports shows as far as women showing who they're with. You got the Wags and Basketball Wives, Football Wives. And if you look at some of these women, fair skin or white Caucasian women. And I guess that's the only, I mean, I think his children's mother was on one of the shows, Govan. Derek Fisher's ex's Derek Fisher ex's sister.
Okay.
So it's one of those things where like, Okay, that's your preference. You can have that preference all you want. I mean, Quincy Jones loved white women, and his whole thing was, you know, I want to blend the two together. I want to show that there's beauty in both sides of the races. Okay, fine, that's your preference. But to come out and just trash her and repeatedly go back to the same person, can you pick somebody else?
Well, if he's that much of a dimwit or that unhinged, what kind of a teammate was he in Washington?
He was poor. I mean, this is the same guy that, if anybody remembers, Andre Blatt. He's supposed to be a big-time superstar for the Wizards. He's one of their top draft picks, never panned out to be nothing, but very talented. I remember him taking a poop, okay? Yeah, that's the word I got to use on radio airways.
Okay, good.
He took a poop in the dude's shoes. One other time, I mean, he filled the guy's car up with, what was it that he filled it up? Man, but it was a mess. I mean, he filled the dude's entire car up with some type of item, yo. It doesn't matter what it is. The fact that you got to go to your car and it's filled with something. One other time, he took the dude's tires off. I mean, so you know he wasn't a good teammate. And then we know with the incident with Javaris Crittenden, where Crittenden was like, hey, look, you know, because Crittenden, you know, a lot of these dudes in the NBA, man, we know they come from rough background. They come from the hood. So some of them is going to be like, look, I know you Gilbert Arenas. You supposed to be the star of the team, but you ain't going to come at me like that. And that's what Javaris Crittenden did to him in Gilbert Arenas. Was like, you know, his ego's so big. Well, excuse me? That's how you coming at me? And that's how they both ended up bringing pistols into the Verizon Center. But you can see that he was never a captain. He's one of the guys that he's a weapon on your team, okay? Because the dude was a flat-out scorer. Before the knee injuries, I mean, we talk about the Russell Westbrooks, the Eric Bledsoes, these young athletic guards. Gilbert Arenas was right there. He could bang on anybody, man. I mean, he's right around the same size as all of them guys. He could get into the lane whenever he wanted. He could rise up and bang on anybody when he wanted. And then once he got confident in his three-pointer, he would pull from 35 feet on anybody. They called him Hibachi, all right? So this dude had all of the scoring talent in the world, but he was never the leader of the team. That was Anton Jameson. Okay. Luckily, Washington had that, else they wouldn't have made it to the playoffs those three straight years when they did have that trio of Gilbert Arenas, Anton Jameson, and Caron Butler. So he's never been the team guy, you know. So it's just now that everybody's starting to see how much of a clown that this dude really is, because you don't see the good from him. Now all you see is the bad.
And the only thing that keeps him in the limelight is the clownness.
Yeah, about
because
to say
we would have Gilbert Arenas. When the last time you spoke of him?
Since the gun incident was the last time you heard of him.
All right, let's move on. Let's go to Cairo. Let's welcome Cravante Hurd to the conversation.
What's good? What's good, people?
Good to see you, man. Let's move to Kyrie Irving allegedly wanting to be traded from Cleveland. Reports suggest that he's had it up to here with King James. What do we think about this?
Ain't no sunshine with you.
I mean, have you ever been so defined about a situation, so resistant about something, that no matter what the consequences is, you'll take them just to get out the situation? That's what he's doing right now, because it's absurd for him to say he wants to be the guy, because look at all the people who are the guys. James Harden, Russell Westbrook, those are the two first ones that come to mind, right? Look at their teams. They're doing great things as individual, but where are their teams going? They're not going to win anything. So I mean, like,
James Harden just got some help.
For him, where'd he go? And still, where'd he go? You know what I'm saying?
And we still don't know if they can play together.
So, but on the other side, it's like, playing with LeBron is tough, because LeBron is basically the NBA, and especially he's really the Cavaliers right now, because he has them by right in the palm of his hand. And we know when things don't go well, LeBron is liable to leave. And the way the front office is moving, he's probably going to be out next year. And I think Kyrie Irving sees the writing on the wall, like, right now. And that's why he's like, I'm going to leave before LeBron leaves.
So is LeBron actually trying to go to the Suns?
No.
I don't know. What would this Stephen A. call it? I was trying to listen. He kind of sort of named it perfectly. Like, LeBron's good at, it's like structuring his own content. Executively producing what comes out of what and what. I mean, as much as all this Kyrie noise is going on, he brought everybody to Vegas. He wants to get good with Derrick Rose. He wants to maintain luckily for everybody, he's maintaining a Cavaliers front. He's not maintaining I got the goal, y'all, this is it for me front. But at the same time, it's like, I mean, hey, Kyrie, I'm the finisher on LeBron James's team. That's my role. That's my goal. I propelled myself to new heights. That NBA championship, and I mean, let's see how much he's really smelling himself. That finals was won because of me and my shot over Steph Curry. I mean, yeah, the backdrop was LeBron propelled and brought his championship back home, but Kyrie Irving made the definitive shot. And I can understand Kyrie Irving wanting to say, I'm not robbing no more, but it also goes to show that as much as they like to play this whole we're good and they in freaking hot tubs chilling and everything like that, it's all good when you're winning. But then when stuff started deteriorating, they had a roller coaster of a year last year. They weren't consistent at all. And now look at them. Trouble in paradise. Who knew? We already knew.
But you know what? It was never paradise because Kyrie Irving signed an extension a couple weeks before LeBron came to town. So exactly. This was supposed to be his team.
They were supposed to beat him around him.
So it's like Dan Gilbert kind of stabbed him in the back. And then
LeBron came in. And then also, I mean, you could even see when they lost the finals, his reaction compared to LeBron's reaction.
But I mean, even before that, when LeBron came, everything changed.
It did.
Andrew Wiggins went out the door. And Kevin Love came in like so much. Kyrie's like, well, wait a minute, like he's because, looking like Mr. Krabs in that meme. Like
the team was what is going to be on? This is supposed to be him. About him.
Well, hold but on, though. Didn't I warn you guys?
Here we go.
Here we go.
Here comes.
He just winded him up.
I remember when it first hit Twitter. Okay, when LeBron James first said, "I'm coming home."
You follow him on Twitter, don't you?
On air, okay, Thursday. Sometime in 2014, yo. So it had to have been somewhere around that time, right?
That's probably right.
I remember coming on the air, yo, and saying, look, this is not going to work for very long. Look, people got Kyrie Irving messed up, all right? I told you, this dude thinks that he's the best player on the planet. He's not going to win. I remember when it first hit Twitter, LeBron James put the thing out, look, I'm coming home. And you know how most if you watch or if you follow pro athletes on Twitter, when they get a big time player to come to their team, most of the time they're elated, they're hot, and they send out a congratulations. What's up, boy? Yeah, I'm glad to have you on the team. I see it with the Ravens all the time. Okay?
Yeah.
When Eric Weddle came to the Ravens, when they signed Eric Weddle last year, everybody on the defense was pumped to get Eric Weddle, one of the premier safeties in the NFL. So they went to Twitter and congratulated.
But I say, you normally go out to the club.
All right,
so you know how they do in D.C.
It was 3, 4, 5 days before Kyrie Irving publicly congratulated LeBron James for joining his team. He didn't want LeBron on the team. He had to take a back seat. And he was ready because, look, this is the same dude that told Kobe Bryant, not when Kobe Bryant was washed up, but Kobe Bryant that was just coming off of NBA championship.
At the Olympics, yeah.
He told Kobe Bryant, you must be, we could put up 50 bands if you think you could beat me one-on-one. You crazy, old man. You think you could beat me? Like, so this is the type of confidence.
I remember that.
This is the player.
That was the thing.
So, you know, I knew it was going to work. And let me tell you something. I got a bold prediction right here.
All right. Okay? All right. Here it comes.
I'm writing about it in the Afro. Hopefully it creates a firestorm of comments.
All right.
Okay? LeBron James will never win another championship again. And he has himself to blame for this, okay? Is he not only did he push away D Wade and all his whole cast in Miami, okay, 3 or 4 years ago, but now he's doing it again with Kyrie Irving. There are rumors out there that were released or that were announced by well-respected journalists that say that after they won the NBA championship, not after they lost it this year, but after they won the NBA championship a year ago, that he was trying to get rid of Kyrie Irving for Chris Paul. And that's what really pushed Kyrie over the edge. When he found that out, he didn't find out about it then. He's just now finding about it this summer. That after we won the NBA championship together, like Ramos alluded, he nailed that shot right in Steph Curry's grill. And you still trying to get rid of me? What, to bring in one of your best friends? Because you want to play with one of your best friends? We all know LeBron James' three best friends are D-Wade, Chris Paul, and Carmelo Anthony. So, and he said that he wanted to play with all three of them before his career's over.
And Perry,
so
to make your point.
He was trying to get Chris Paul there. And so we just won a title together.
and you trying to push me out the. So that's it's over. So now he pushed Kyrie away. He pushed this Miami squad that he hit. He went to four straight finals away. And Golden State is only getting better. And now you got this young movement. We have one of the best draft class we've probably seen since LeBron James draft class.
So LeBron is finished. LeBron, no more.
He's not finished.
No more rings.
They'll probably still return to the deep. Look, Eastern Conference is cakewalk.
Oh, my gosh. Worse than before.
But he'll never win another title.
No more rings.
He can still win another chip. I just don't think with Cleveland right now.
So he got to go. But you know, to go to kind of sort of go piggyback off of Perry's point, and you see this with LeBron, not just in Cleveland, but in Miami, period, and prior to when he was in Cleveland the first time, like, he has no ability to trust people with his career. I mean, it's a difference between a Michael Jordan and a Kobe basically trying to scare you into getting somebody over here to come help me. Or, okay, you think you all big and bad and you don't want to throw numbers at me and you don't want to pay me and you want to do this. So guess what I'm going to do? I'm who I am. I can go do this and guess what else I can bring about. But LeBron totally does not trust any front office. One thing about Miami, he couldn't tell Pat Riley what to do. You're not going to walk in Pat Riley's office and say, hey, I want a Carmelo over here. I'm going to do this. That's not going to happen.
And that's why he left.
But Dan Gilbert, move your behind out my way. I'm the one that's going to sign the checks. And I don't trust you. I'm going to sign the checks. I'm going to get the pen and the pad. I'm going to do everything that I can do to structurally make sure my narrative is fine wherever I'm at and make sure that I'm comfortable and make sure I bring the people, because obviously you're not going to do it, so I'm going to do it. He doesn't trust anything.
I don't blame him for not trusting Dan Gilbert, though.
Who would trust Dan Gilbert?
Have you seen his track record? I wouldn't trust Dan Gilbert either.
Especially lately.
You coming out with conspiracies after the fact that you was working with this guy to get Kyrie out of here. Why would I want to trust you?
It's too much. It's entirely too much. But that's another reason why Kyrie should leave, because look at what the front office has done to their players. I mean, you've done this to the greatest player in the game right now.
There was Wizards talk. I mean, highly muted, but him coming and adding to what the Wizards are already building. Granted, he doesn't need to be there.
Let's take a quick break. We'll continue with the NWA. Steven, we're going to get you your call, so hang on, brother. More with the NWA Sports Report after the break. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the NWA Sports Report. We are joined by Brother Isaiah, because we're going to start talking football. So we got Isaiah, we've got Cravanta, we've got...
Welcome to the Lions Den.
What's up?
Dre.
What's going on?
We've got Uncle Perry on the phone. We've got Ramos here as well. Let me take a phone call real quick. Let me go to Steven. Steven, you're on the NWA. How you doing?
All right. I appreciate y'all.
What's going on?
Great discussion. I just wanted to say this about Kyrie. It was funny about the teams that he mentioned he was willing to go to, is that one of them was Kevin Love's old team, and the other one was the Knicks. It was like, Knicks and San Antonio. Clearly, he's not going to San Antonio, where he's not going to be the man. And then he's not going to go to, I mean, if he goes to Minnesota, I can't rule out LeBron, if they get any player of any caliber from Minnesota in return for Kyrie, you can't rule out wherever LeBron goes. The other thing is, I'm a LeBron fan. LeBron improves whoever he's playing with, and so Kyrie got to be who he is now, I think, because LeBron was able to show him, some of the way. And he shot more than LeBron. LeBron played his position better than him. John Wall is better than him now. Thank you very much.
All right, Steven. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Appreciate y'all.
All right. LeBron James, in a lot of ways, seems like, and I could be wrong. I'm a much bigger NFL fan than NBA fan, but he in a lot of ways is the most polarizing figure that we've seen in the NBA in a long time. I just think about it's like people's opinions about him. You love him, you hate him. Most people do respect him, but it's just it's never neutral when it comes to LeBron James. Seemingly, it's never lukewarm. You know, I could take him out. It's just like it's these extremes usually when it comes to LeBron James. People like Dre love him with all his might.
I'm neutral.
Uncle Perry hates him all his might. You're neutral.
I'm in between.
All
right. I'm very critical.
I'm critical but neutral.
And Caronte, we always joke about all the time. We always joke about how many bar fights this man debates hundreds, in the barbershop. Hundreds. This man has caused.
Folks ain't got their hairline messed up messing with LeBron.
Yeah, I think it's true. It's interesting. But let's talk NFL news. First of all, there was a report, and I'm calling an audible here of sorts. There was a report that I saw connected to the brain injury issue and concussion issue. 110 of 111 NFL players examined have that disease.
CTE.
Yeah.
CTE.
110 of 111.
99%, baby.
This league, the NFL, has a lot to answer for. And I think what they don't understand, the commissioner, Goodell, does not understand is that the gravy train has been going for so long in the NFL, and they've made so much money and it's so popular worldwide. I don't think they believe that there's any end to it. But I'm going to tell you, when those mothers start saying their sons aren't playing football anymore, and they start pulling them out of Little League and Pee Wee Leagues, and the college ranks start to shrivel up a little bit, and that automatic feeder into the NFL starts to deplete itself. The league will not be this league will not. It doesn't have the capacity to sustain itself because
you think that's going to happen, yo?
I don't think so.
It's going to take time.
The beginning part of what you just said, it already has.
I think that you can't continue to ignore this problem with your players becoming deathly ill because the league has not protected them properly. And continue to go operate at the same level. I don't think.
But hold on, though, because that's the thing. See. All right, so look, I understand. Look, this is my take on the whole thing, the whole concussion topic. Mm-hmm. If you're going to play football, you're going to put yourself at risk of getting a concussion.
That's
there
true.
Is no helmets that you can wear. There is no – they can't change the rules because we've seen that doesn't work either. All right? Look, what they have to do, what the NFL has to do, is to make sure that they're taking care of players after the fact.
Okay.
That's the reason why they face lawsuits so much. They wouldn't have faced the lawsuits if those dudes wasn't begging for money to go to the doctors and go to the hospitals and treat themselves. So what they have to do is make sure anybody that joins that exclusive club is taken care of forever. And they have enough money to do it. So it's all about greed, okay? But there's no way you're going to be able to make the game of football safe. It wouldn't be football if it was safe.
No. I agree with that, Barry. I agree with that. It is inherently a dangerous game. I know that. I played. It is inherently a dangerous game.
And when you talk about like the constructs of the NFL itself, I mean, this is a league that can't get anything right as far as penalties, as far as criminal acts. So when something happens, I mean, we're talking about the domestic disputes or the substance abuse policy. And Sean, when you weren't here, we had a roundtable discussion. You got guys like Warren Sapp coming out saying that he's going to donate his brain once he's gone to CTE research, and coming to the point when you're 36, 40 years old, you can't remember how to tie a tie or how to what the towel's supposed to do on the back, on your back when you rinsing off. So it's like, to a degree, you can't even look at the NFL and say, I can't believe they're not getting this right, because they don't get anything right.
Well, I'm going to come back to that in a moment. But to my point, and I'm not saying that the NFL as we know it is going to end, but I'm saying for the first time, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe for the first time we saw a decline in
ratings
mm-hmm. for the NFL.
We did.
It's been a while.
It's been decades since we've seen an actual decline in how many people have watched NFL games. So the league is definitely getting some things wrong. And I think at the head of that is how they've dealt with this concussion issue, because their first instinct was to cover it up and act like it didn't exist.
The first thing you said when you started off the conversation is that when you're going to have people
mothers and fathers start taking their kids out of the game of football, you're already seeing it.
I know.
You know, it's starting with the flag football leagues, but you've seen a lot of people saying, I'm just not going to let my kid play. And, you know, you see doctors a lot of times saying, who are looking at this research, saying you probably shouldn't let your kid play football up until maybe the age of 12 or 11. And if that's the case, you have a kid who's already playing a sport, you know, years up until then, he's probably not going to play football. So that's going to start looking at the decline. You've already seen the players that come out of the college game aren't as well-rounded, well, or aren't as good or ready when they come in the NFL. But you already see it happening.
But
those numbers, though, you know, they look, numbers sometimes they don't lie, okay, but they, you know, maybe they can just bend the truth just a little bit. Okay, because look, we don't know how many of those numbers, like what people, the decline is because it's due to the fact that mothers are pulling their kids. Look, today's generation of youth, I have two young kids. They don't go outside and play anymore. You know, my daughter, she has an iPad. That, you know, she's 8 years old, and she stays on that thing all day long. And the thing is, she's not even playing a game. She goes and watches YouTube videos of other kids playing games, I don't understand that at all. Okay? So it's a whole new different thing. And you know what? And I can't... You don't let your kids play outside all day because people are kidnapping kids these days. So there's a lot of different reasons why you may see a decline in kids playing youth sports and organized sports and being outside and playing football. But one thing for sure is, look, the poor kid, the kid that needs this because they need to get to the NFL because this is their way out. You know, those type of athletes, I don't think they're ever going to stop playing football. The state of Texas, I don't think you're ever going to see youth Oklahoma. Out there not
Florida,
playing football.
California.
We're always going to have a bevy of athletes that are willing to play the sport.
But
they got to get it right when it comes to health care, post-career, taking care of these players, making sure that they have pension funds, that they got knee problems, they got back problems, they got head problems, anything, they're well taken care of. I think that's the solution.
So
once we get to that, everything will be all
two
right.
Two things I want to touch on. What Isaiah said is, I mean, and I've talked about this on the show many times, the kids in college today, you look at
ready.
Them. They come into the pros. They're not ready. They're big. They're strong. They're fast. They check those boxes. But these kids can't tackle. They can't block.
Fundamental.
And these guys are fragile, and they are hurt.
I mean, I remember watching a Morgan Howard game with my dad, and he coached football. And he was saying just how, like, the lack of preparation coming into just college alone.
If you look at the college games, the one people I always get on, I would not want to draft a Pac-12 defensive player or a Big 12 defensive player. You look at those games throughout the year. I remember a game between Texas Tech and Oklahoma that went 70 points. I would not draft a single player on any of those defenses. You can't tackle. You can't cover people. You may have speed, but you're getting beat because you aren't taught the fundamentals or you're not doing the fundamentals.
Can't stop a nosebleed.
Right. So, I mean, even if they're physically ready, a lot of times they're not mentally ready. So that a lot of times these quarterbacks, too, when they come in a league and we talk about we want to get them in as soon as possible, you see what happens with that. A lot of guys get in the league and they're out maybe a year or two after because they weren't ready, they weren't coached up in college, and two, once they get in the league, they're not ready for that type of speed.
I understand that's wanting to bring about awareness. I understand that this is an important topic, and it's unfortunate for football because as much as we love football, and I mean, let's be real, you're not looking for Ray Lewis to shake Tom Brady's hand once he gets across that line of scrimmage. Nope. You want him to annihilate Ben Roethlisberger. You want him to annihilate Tom Brady. That's what we watch football for the animal. But unfortunately, we also got to look at dissecting the difference between two types of players. I mean, you're going to have a guy that comes in the league and maybe takes on the approach of saying, you know what, I want to be able, once I walk away from here, to be able to actually walk. I want to be able to get out of here and actually be able to think. I want to be able to actually be able to spend time with my kids and my family and have a life that is in retirement outside of football, and football not be the reason why I can't do it.
Right.
But you also have a guy like Ed Reed that has said, you know what, hey, Ed, out of all the things you heard about concussion protocol and all this and that and guts for guts, glory for glory, one of the best defensive minds that ever played a game, when you step across and get on that line, would you have your career again? I would never change anything about anything I've done. I would do it all again.
But we can't ignore what Sean said, though. I mean,
you got to take your own risk into consideration, guys.
I know people who don't let their kids play football now.
And you know, another thing is there's NFL players that won't let their kids play.
Absolutely,
you know what I'm saying?
True.
I heard Greg Jennings. he said that I'm going to steer my son away from playing football because of what I'm doing. Now, he said, obviously, he'll do it again because of the success he had for his career. But for his son, he said he's going to steer him away from that.
To Uncle Perry's point, though, one of the most plausible solutions is for the league to get up off of some of that money and help these guys. Because I'm obviously the OG in the group. I grew up watching guys like Doug Plank. I grew up watching guys like Harvey Martin and all these just these players who literally sacrificed their bodies every Sunday. Dave Durison, who killed himself, I believe, as a result of suffering
Junior
from
Seau.
That disease. Junior Seau. The whole Oakland Raiders secondary, George Atkinson, and
the quarterback Kenny Stabler.
I mean, these guys suffered tremendously, because that's what the league called. It was like you tape them up and you send them back out there. They outlawed. I remember there was a defense. I mentioned Harvey Martin, the great defensive end from the Dallas Cowboys. One of his best weapons was the head slap. They had to outlaw the head slap because he was literally knocking guys unconscious.
I say Deacon Jones was doing that too.
You would rest. those guys would wrap their hands in tape and fiberglass, and it was a lethal weapon, and they were busting guys upside the head week in and week out, and these guys were Mike Webster, the great Pittsburgh Steelers center, homeless, basically, and wound up killing himself. Yeah. These stories repeat, and there are a lot more. There are a lot of guys who aren't as famous as Mike Webster or Dave Durison or Junior Seau who had met ends like they did, but nobody knows about them. They died anonymous, and it was because of the violence that was implemented in that league and the injuries that they
exactly. And that's during a time when football didn't even have the money at the time.
And that's the reason why, Roger, and that's the shady, shicey part of the NFL, because they know that.
Absolutely.
And what they do is they push out all these different rules and changes and procedure changes to talk about safety. The whole time they know that they're cutting out these guys, the alumni group of the NFL. They're cutting them out of money that they will be able to take care of these players and prevent some of these suicide deaths. Something like if Julian Sayer had the support, he would have never committed that suicide, perhaps. So they know that, and we've seen it in action. Everybody's familiar with the NFL Madden game. Okay, everybody played Madden at some point. If you're young enough. And if you know anything about Madden, you know they have retro teams. You can play with the 92 Cowboys.
Right.
You can play with some of the from the Oakland Raiders.
83 Oakland Raiders.
Yeah. But guess what? If you play with those teams, you're not gonna have Kenny Stabler or you're not gonna have Troy Aikman. It's gonna be some white guy wearing number 19 or something like that. They put the players out there. Somebody looks like Michael Irvin, but he's not wearing Michael Irvin's number. He doesn't have Michael Irvin's jersey name on it. Why? So that they don't have to pay those dudes any type of rights. Uh-huh. They don't get any exclusive. They don't get commission on Madden like the active players do.
But
active players get a cut. The alumni don't get a cut. And that's the problem right there. Take care of the guys that came before. Like you said, take care of the guys that made the NFL what it is. Put their bodies on the line. Put their heads on the line, their knees on the line, everything on the line. Take care of them, we wouldn't be in the situation we are today.
It's right. Also take care of right now, because you can go, let's get the penalties in the game. I mean, you talk about quarterbacks. We're talking about defensive guys. We got to talk about quarterbacks. They said that they missed. Von Miller came right through. That offensive line was trash, but came right through and hit. And a guy like Cam Newton's so big, so you kind of, it's unmasked. It's kind of taken out of precedence. It's not that important because of how big he is. But hit him in it. I mean, he got hit smack in the head. There's a flag. The league says, oh, we should have threw that flag. But you know what? He also suffered a concussion barely because of that. But you got to do it in the midst of the time,
and
too.
To that point, to Ramos's point, Von Miller, I don't care what anybody says, he's a great football player. Von Miller leads with his head.
He does.
He leads with his head.
A lot of times he's coming from the side the quarterback can't see.
That's
a lot of
side.
Times he's trying to get the ball and he's leading with his head and then he ends up hitting them.
But he leads with his head even.
But you know what? That goes to what Isaiah was saying, talking about the fundamentals of how the kids are brought up to play football. You never supposed to leave your head because that hurts you too. There's some recoil to that too.
Yep. And then if I go for your knees and your ankles,
that's a flag now.
No, but you know what, though? You see, that's the reason why people, maybe that's the decline in viewership right there. Because you got because we don't get those big hits no more. You know, and that's what made the game exciting in the first place. Because, you know, and that's the reason why I say Tom Brady could never be the greatest quarterback. And he didn't have to play. Majority of his career, he didn't have to face that type of action.
Nah,
he didn't have to worry about somebody trying to take his knees out or somebody trying to hit him in the head. And that's, and those big hits did make the game exciting. Okay, and I think a lot of players would be willing to take those risks. They would put themselves in the game and say, you know what, I know I'm at risk of getting hit in the head or getting hit in the knees. But I'll do it if I know I'm set up for life. My family is set up for life.
Plus the love of the love to the passion, Perry. That goes into account too. I've been playing this sport since I was 6-7 years old. Football was the first thing I put in my hands, and I didn't need my parents to put it in my hands. I put it in my hands, and I fell in love with it. You know, I mean, even Tom Brady had a concussion. Look how much that fell under the radar, right?
You know, the NFL is probably gonna be extinct probably not in the near future, but probably soon, because it's a really greedy organization. The guys at the top are really, really greedy. Until they come up off this money, forget lockouts.
You heard about Richard Sherman?
That's what has to happen, though.
But forget the lockouts. I mean, I'm talking about NFL no more.
Well, sooner than you think. Let me take a quick phone call. We don't have a lot of time, but let's bring this man on. Is it Diamond Lou on the
Yes,
morning?
Sir, brother.
Oh, yo. My God, Diamond Lou.
And I've been listening to you all.
Diamond Lou, did you hear Perry? Did you hear
man,
Perry?
Man, I don't pay no attention to Perry.
Oh,
come on, Lou.
Listen, you know, what I'd like to hear you all talk about, and I don't know whether I missed it, but I don't think I did. You know, Joe Flacco has a back injury coming into camp, and there's been chatter about the fact that the Ravens, particularly John Harbaugh, is considering or has made a consideration to offer a look at Colin Kaepernick. And my question, Yoz, is this.
Yes,
do you really feel that Baltimore, and of course, when I say Baltimore, you know what I mean, because I respect the fact that you are in a part the fabric of Baltimore.
I am.
And I'm just wondering that will this community, will the sports fan base here accept a Colin Kaepernick? Now, I think that basically I would like to see Kaepernick come here. I suspect maybe his brother called him up and said, hey, give Kaepernick a chance, because Kaepernick played for Harbaugh's brother when they played the Super Bowl. So I'd be interested to hear y'all's thoughts on Colin Kaepernick coming to Baltimore. I'd really like to see that happen.
All right, Diamond Lou Hudnell, thank you for calling in. If Colin Kaepernick can help the Ravens, I'm sure the Ravens would love to have him. Perry, what do you think?
Yeah, well, look, I mean, throughout the history of at least especially, you know, considering John Harbaugh's era since 2008, he's always had a backup quarterback that could use his legs, whether it was Geno Smith, whether it was Tyrod Taylor. We had Dennis Dixon in at one point. I mean, I would love to have Colin Kaepernick here as a backup. Joe Flacco isn't going to miss much time. I don't even think he's going to miss a game this season. He walks fine. He looks fine. He hurt his back lifting weights, and he informed the team, and they said, you know what, let's just take precautions and shut stuff down and let you rest your backup. Okay, but, you know, but to still have a mobile quarterback as your backup, because, you know, that helps you out when you're scouting against teams that use mobile quarterbacks. I would love to have Kaepernick in here, and I know that Harbaugh has had a relationship with Kaepernick for a very long time. Even when he's been going through this turmoil that he's been going through with so much outrage from the public, particularly from white America. Okay, so he's been one of the white guys that still had a connection with Colin Kaepernick. So I think this may be an opportunity for Kaepernick to get his foot back in the door, and he may have to make some changes, but I think Harbaugh would give it to him, give him the opportunity. I would love to see him in Baltimore. As far as how Baltimore, the fan base, I think I would probably speak more to that than you, Yoz, because I'm not sure if you're from either Oakland or Baltimore. You know, I don't know. You know, you might be from the west. You might be from the West Coast. You know,
Where are you from, Perry? Where are you from?
Well, I'm from Maryland. First of all, state of Maryland. State of Maryland. But I've spent more of my adulthood in Baltimore than I have
anywhere else, yo. So I'm a Baltimorean.
What?
I speak for a Baltimorean.
Oh, I thought you said Baltimorean. I didn't know what you
said. He tried to throw Baltimore and Maryland in there. Baltimore and Maryland.
Baltimore and Maryland.
He tried to throw both in it.
That's the accent. That's the Maryland.
That's the accent.
But look,
that's
you know?
Prince George's County accent. That's what that is.
Leave us out of this.
Yeah.
I knew it was coming.
But if they do bring him, though.
A lot of Baltimore would love to have him here. There. Now, you're going to have the people that's going to be protesting and all of that and saying ugly comments and everything. But I think the city will embrace him, man. I think they would.
Well, you got to factor in, it's kind of the Tebow aspect of it, as the minute Joe Flacco starts messing up, though, when you have a backup to that caliber, there are going to be those chances, though.
Please stop comparing Colin.
I'm not comparing him. I'm saying the situation is comparable, because the minute Joe Flacco has a bad game or a couple bad series, then next season.
That was the same reason that Pete Carroll didn't want to bring him in, saying that this guy, we worked him out, and we saw this guy as a starting quarterback. So if something happens, you know, in the beginning of the year, even though the Seahawks are a really good team, at the beginning of the year, they usually have their struggles. So if they have their struggles, Russell Wilson isn't on par, you know, maybe that first quarter of the season, and then you start hearing Colin Kaepernick chants.
And don't let it be a couple of games in a row.
You start hearing the analysts say more and more, you know, maybe they should start cap. Then you have a quarterback controversy. So I do understand.
It's going to mess up your locker room.
It splits your locker room. So I understand that. But their backup quarterback right now is Ryan Mallett. If this back injury, you know, if he aggravates it, if it starts to linger, whatever, you got to think about it. Who would you rather want as your backup quarterback? Colin Kaepernick or Ryan Mallett?
What's the answer, Barry?
Well, honestly, for the system that we use, I would rather have Ryan Mallett. I would rather have Ryan Mallett because we don't use a system that best fits Colin Kaepernick. But as a potential backup quarterback that you could use for scouting purposes, okay, when you are facing a team like Seattle, you know they're going to have a quarterback that's going to move. Or when you simply want to throw different packages at the defense that you're playing, it's always good to have a more. I don't think Colin Kaepernick, first of all, Flacco beat him head-to-head in the Super Bowl. I don't think that there will ever be a quarterback controversy. Flacco has played with a very talented quarterback behind him majority of his career. We had people calling for Tyrod Taylor, for Christ's sake. Okay, so and they did the same thing for Geno Smith in Flacco's rookie year. They did it when he had Mark Bulger backing him up.
Mark Bulger. But Mark, I would
Mark,
love
Mark,
it.
Mark Bulger was a Pro Bowl quarterback.
He was. And then he wasn't.
And that's what I remember
the
most.
The drop-off was so fast.
And that's what I remember most. But Colin Kaepernick, I would love it. Because, man, we've been fighting for us as the media. Well, this media right here in this room has been fighting for him to have a job, because I feel like he deserves a job in the NFL.
I think the NFL and the majority of analysts, though, do want Colin in.
No. The problem is the majority of the NFL doesn't.
No, I was saying the analysts.
Oh, sure.
I just thought about something to speak on the thing about Perry was saying about such as the system. Kyle Shanahan came out, I think it was either today or yesterday, talking about the reason they were given why they released him, saying that he didn't necessarily fit their system and what he wanted to do. Now, you see all the time when head coaches come in, they want to start with their scheme. They want to start with the quarterback that they want. He bring in Brian Hoyer, you know, from the Browns, a team he used to play for. I mean, he used to coach for. So it's somewhat understandable, the idea.
What's wrong with these
but
guys?
Brian Ew. Hoyer is not a winner. He's shown that every place he's been at. He was a backup behind Tom Brady. Then he went to the Texans, couldn't get the job done. Then he went to the Browns, couldn't get the job done after time of the Browns trying to give him the job, and he just wouldn't do anything
Brian
with
Hoyer,
it.
Bro.
So you release Colin Kaepernick, who has talent, who has capability of winning, and you go with Brian Hoyer. If he fits your system but doesn't get you wins, where does that get you?
I don't know. Let me take a phone call real quick. Let me go to Nicole in Towson. Nicole, you're on the NWA. What's up, Nicole?
How is everyone?
Where are
you? What's going on?
Great, great. I want to say that we would absolutely embrace Colin Kaepernick. He is talented. He's, to me, at this point, underrated. I think that, you know, most of the teams that look at him and look the other way really just don't have backbone. I think they don't want to face the fans and, you know, how, you know, the fans will receive him or not receive him. But we would actually welcome him here. He is, like I said, I think he's very talented, and I think he could add something to the Baltimore team. So please, bring him on.
Nicole, thank you for your call. Appreciate
it. And you know, a lot of the injustice, craziness that was going on happened in Baltimore. Boy, so, that's I think it would be nothing but embracing because this is what you stood for. And a lot of it happened here. Why not come to this team?
Well, that's a good point. I mean, I think that he would have his detractors in this state like anywhere else because this state is not the most progressive state, quite frankly. But in Baltimore City, you're right. There would be a lot of people that could identify with who Colin Kaepernick is and the stand that he took. It would be interesting. I'm thinking ultimately, if the kid can help the team, I mean, I think that's really the marker.
And if anything, it will keep Joe Flacco on his toes.
Oh, true.
It seems like he needs that the past couple of years.
Didn't Ryan Mallett play fairly well for the Ravens last year in certain
situations? Not last year, the year before,
Flacco got hurt.
Right.
Yeah, I mean. Yeah, the year before, he played two or three games. He was really good. I mean, look, they both have the same type of arm,
right.
The same body frame and everything. Guys, yeah. So, and they both, you know, I think they both fit this system. I'm not sure Kaepernick would fit this system. I don't think it would best suit him. I think they would have to make changes. But I would love to have him, like I said, just for scouting purposes and just to be able to throw different packages at defense.
Let me take one more phone call before we get out. Let's go to Anthony in Baltimore. Anthony, you're on the NWA. What's happening?
Hey, what's going on, huh?
Hey.
All right. So I just wanted to comment on what's going on here with
Anthony?
We can't
understand, man. You sound like you're underwater, bro. I mean,
yeah, can you hear me?
That's better. Go ahead, brother. Go ahead. We got you.
All right, bet. Now, I was saying, I want to comment as far as Kaepernick gets concerned.
Underwater again.
I want to say he's great.
You got Sprint, man?
But he's definitely a good quarterback.
Okay. All right.
The best part of his points underwater.
It is.
The best part.
Again?
Yeah, no, you. Thank you, Anthony. Wow,
we tried.
We did try.
Every time he talked, he dipped under.
And then he came up and went right back down.
We got nothing for you.
All right. We had a little bit of an extended NWA, but it's come to an end. Our time is up. It's over.
Aw.
So we'll be back next week. Cravante, thank you.
Of course.
Isaiah, thank you.
Of course.
Dr. Dre. Uncle Perry, thank you. And, of course, the aforementioned Ramos. We had to dip a little early. Ray Ghost. All right, that's it for us. That's it for First Edition. That's it for the NWA. It is a production of WEAA. The show is produced by executive producer Sean Yo's, associate producer Iorio Digizua. Our First Edition interns are Isaiah George, Wyman Jones, Alex Blanc, Valentin Davis. Stay tuned for WEAA's podcast mashup, the Local Color podcast, and the Tavis Smiley podcast. Next, right here on Public Radio, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. I am Sean Yo's. Peace.